there's a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
I'm lacking in physique, so that's fine. But you need to understand something, that the gifts that God puts to particular people, some on a natural level, they have the physique, they're born with it. There are ladies who naturally have shape, while other ladies have to work for it. All right? That's on a natural level. And then there are people who are given gifts, that someone is good at basketball, someone's good at singing. There are gifts that are naturally given to them. Then there are even natural gifts that you can have that are in your body, but they're dormant. You don't know. There are people out there who have probably never cooked, but the day the person cooks realizes, actually, I'm a good cook. You understand? Mm. So there are certain environments that reveal the gifts that you have. And sometimes I often meet people who tell me, man, Rabbi, I don't know my call. And I ask them, just to make conversation, I would often ask, so, what are you good at? And they say, I'm not good at anything. And that's impossible. And some people have not entered the environments that can awaken. There's a lady years ago, a friend of mine, she used to ask me, Rabbi, what is my call? And back then, well, I used to just tell her, the Lord reveal it. Until there were earthquakes, there was an earthquake in Haiti. And her parents supported her. She went to Haiti to help earthquake victims. And that's what she does now. She goes all over the world, disaster, helping disaster zones and so on and so forth. And that's her call. But an earthquake had to happen in Haiti for her call to awaken. That's why the Bible says, all things work together for good. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Out of a disaster, someone's call given. So there are gifts that God puts in the natural. There are gifts that God puts in your soul. There are people who have just are naturally intelligent. There are people who have wonderful personalities. There are people who have terrible personalities, but their personality is different from character. There are people who have terrible personalities, but their personalities look like they stink, but you put them in an environment that is suitable for their personality and you would realize the importance of that personality. So for example, people had an issue with Donald Trump's personality, but God needed a man like that to be at the helm of the U.S. in order for the church to have a chance. So outside the bracket of being in leadership, his personality might stink if you sit down with him on a daily basis and he's boasting and he's doing what. But so there are people whose personalities are not in the right place for you to discover the strength of that personality. Okay? Then there are things that God puts in your spirit. And I've told you before that your body is complicated. Just from the natural level, there are cells that work in your body. They are tiny cells. Your body has blood vessels. Your body has a lot of things inside there that people don't know about. You need microscopes and you need science to look and realize what your body is made of. Now, if your body can be that detailed and it's physical, what about your spirit, man? You think your spirit is just spirit? There are things in there. Your spirit, for example, keeps memory. I remember I explained that. Huh? Yeah. All our spirits weigh differently. we have different weights in the spirit. And let me explain what I mean by spirit weighing memory. I mean, your spirit carrying memory. Everything that you do on a daily basis, your mind, your brain stores it. There's read-only memory and random access memory. Okay? There are things that are stored. From a physical perspective, when you forget certain things certain years ago, a hypnotist can come from a physical perspective and make you remember something of 10 years ago. But there's also a memory that is kept in the spirit. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, it says that the rich man and Lazarus remembered each other even on the other in the other side. Okay? So there's a memory that is kept in your spirit. If their brain was left behind, they must have that memory must have been stored somewhere. So there are things that are stored in your spirit. And because you existed before the foundations of the earth, it is possible to remember things before you came. Now let me touch this thing of deja vu. Most people don't realize, and I've taught it in many of my ministries, ministrations, deja vu is French for already seen. Before you came onto this earth, the origin of your purpose, before you came onto this earth, God showed you your path. You saw the entire path. You saw the things that he wanted you to do, the places he wanted you to go, the people he wanted you to meet. You accepted. The problem is that the moment you were put in a body of sin, you forgot. And that's why I tell people, the moment you get born again, can I tell you something? This is interesting. What does being born again mean? Because Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again of the Spirit and of water, you cannot enter the kingdom. But what does being born again mean? It can't be of your body. Because even Nicodemus says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? And Jesus corrects him, that's not what he's referring to. The term born again means you are born at a particular time. That means this is the second time you're getting born. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Eh? Mm-hmm. So if it's not applying to your body, not applying to your soul, it must be applying to your
spirit.
That means there must have been an initial birth. I don't know if you're getting... Oh my God. You're getting what I'm saying? There must have been an initial birth of your spirit for God to refer to it as born again. And I'll mess you up. Because you see, there's a scripture. You read it. And no, you don't have it there. But I think it's either Psalms 87 or Isaiah. I think it's Psalms 87. Oh, I'll remember it. I'll look for it. It says, it talks about those who were born in Zion. It's a reference to people who are born in Zion. Yeah? That means there's a place where you are initiated and your spirit was of a certain state, but when it entered the place of sin, it was tainted. So it needs to be rebirthed.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, dear Lord. And I don't even know it. Okay, I've taken a kind of side path, but where was I when I was talking about that? Okay, so I think so. Your spirit carries memory. There's a lot in your spirit that pertains to you. That God puts a lot of things inside there. There are higher versions of you. There are higher versions of you. There were higher versions of Jesus. There was Jesus as a baby. There was Jesus at 12 years old. He was aware of his purpose at 12. Huh? There was a Jesus at 30 years old. The Bible says, refers to him as Jesus of Nazareth. Huh? Mm-hmm. But when he's anointed, he becomes Jesus Christ, not mm-hmm. Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Christ means anointed. Yes. Then there's a Jesus who died and resurrected and is now in heaven. That's a different kind of version. Mm-hmm. All those are different Jesuses with a different capacity to do things. All those are different. Now, there are people who think that, you know, when you receive your call, they think that you need to have lived here on earth a particular period of time in order to fulfill your purpose. There's a book by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest. In that book, he talks about he saw an end time army, and some of the armies were led by children. Like children at the forefront. Now, read for me Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 to 24, I believe.
Hebrews 11, 23 to 24. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict.
So first of all, from that scripture, we know that they saw that he was a beautiful child or that he was an unusual child. Purpose, you don't find purpose out there. Purpose is seen. It can be seen from the time a child is born. That's why you need spiritual parents. I remember when I gave you that story of even the name you give a child is extremely important. Yeah. And I gave an example of this guy who was baptizing children, this man of God, a prophet, who was baptizing children.
Yeah.
And he was about to baptize this child, and heaven opened up, and Elijah stood and said, "Don't baptize that child, because that's not the name in heaven given to him." And so he gave the child back and said, "This is not the name of the child. First look for the right name." And the parents said, "You ask Elijah, what is the name?" You understand? So even the names, you need to be prophetic, you need to be spiritual. So purpose can be seen. The Bible says purpose in a man's heart is like deep waters. And a man of understanding draws it out. So purpose is inside. It's drawn out. How is it drawn out? Number one, it's drawn out through information study. Number two, environment. Number three, association. Number four, encounters. Those are the number of ways in it. Now, a prophet can come, for example, prophesy to you and say you're called to be a musician. When a prophet comes and does that, he has just unlocked something in you. Which, read the next verse.
Verse 24, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Okay, now I explained this. Another version says, by faith, Moses, when he had come of age. And it's weird, that statement is weird because Moses was 40 years old. So by the time he's a 40-year-old man, and the Bible says he has come of age, that means it's not referring to his body, it's referring to his spirit. Now, the question to you is, how old are you? Because according to the spirit realm, the moment you encounter purpose, that's when they start counting age.
Yep.
That's where Moses says in Psalms 90, he says, teach us to number our days. That numbering of days in relation to the calendar of heaven. Job says in Job chapter 13, verse 14, I believe, he says, put me on your calendar, O God. There's a calendar in the realm of the spirit. When you encounter a genuine prophet who prophesies to you, he doesn't prophesy from the calendar of earth. He prophesies from the calendar of the spirit realm. God has his own calendar. He picks from that calendar and prophesies to you. Every encounter with a genuine prophet is an encounter with a season, a new season. Look at every man or woman of God that you admire. What you're looking at is the seasons that they've gone through. The seasons that have shaped them. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So what is your age? What is your weight? In the spirit, how old are you? These are the challenges I want to put out to you. Because let me tell you, there are encounters you cannot have because your spirit is weak. It's the reason why many people, when they have dreams, they forget them. That sometimes the encounter is stronger than the strength of their spirit man. So you need to grow your spirit man in order to. And remember when I told you about Joseph?
Yes.
And I said that Joseph had a dream and he sees his brothers as 11 stars and the sun and moon bowing before him. And I said, listen carefully. The saddest thing about this story is that Joseph's brothers were all stars, but they never fulfilled their potential.
True.
Huh? He saw them as stars. There's no way God can name you a star and it's just to be just to
potential.
Be potential. Yeah. The Bible says of Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, is it a chapter? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, I don't. He says, "There's the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars, and even the stars themselves differ in glory." there is a link between your purpose and the astral realm. Mm. Eh, Jesus. There's just so many things. Let me tell you something. You know, we were talking about money, and I've remembered something that I think is important, because all of us want to live a nice life, and the Lord wants us to live a nice life. All these guys that we see here on earth, they're different classes of billionaires.
Yes, sir.
I've really wandered off a bit, but let's. If you're listening to me, you think a billionaire is just a billionaire. There are different classes of billionaires. Can I touch that with permission?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter how long we go. This is the last podcast of the year, so I might as well go to the deepest I can. There are billionaires that are billionaires. We call them paper money billionaires. Paper money. They're just billionaires on paper. They're in Forbes list of Fortune 400, but they burn more money than they make. Okay? Their spreadsheet shows that they're negatives. Uber is one of them, by the way. Uber is valued as a $1 billion company, but it's operating in negatives. You go and do your study. So that's what you call a paper money, and most of them are startups. Uber is just about what, 2-3 years old. Most of them are startups. When a person, the owner of Uber or the owner of any startup, doesn't really have the money. They have been valued by potential. Then there are IPOs. IPO companies. That means a company has shifted from... This is where every startup wants to get. When you start your company, you want to make it public. When you make it public, people start giving money, buying shares in your company. When they buy shares, you can sell off some of your shares and have cash. When you have cash, now you're a bit liquid. You can buy yachts, you can buy Ferraris, mansions, based on... But there's a limit. You can't sell all your stock, otherwise you affect the value of the company. I told you I'm an economist. You affect the value of the company. So there are companies that are IPOs. Jeff Bezos is a billionaire. Well, how much is it now? $116 billion. Okay. He's worth 116 or something like that as of 2019. But he falls in the category of these IPO guys. All his money is in one company, Amazon. The reason why you don't hear Jeff Bezos giving out as much money as Bill Gates is because he's not as liquid as Bill Gates.
Yep.
He might be the richest person on the planet in terms of valuation, but the cash that he has is limited. Okay?
Yep.
Then there are middle-class billionaires. A middle-class billionaire is a guy who has gone a step from an IPO. He has invested his money in various areas. Okay? Bill Gates, for example, a large percentage of his wealth is in Berkshire Hathaway and other companies. Berkshire Hathaway, for those who don't know, is the company owned by Warren Buffett. Okay? Now, that company is huge to the extent that global banks come to borrow money from this chap. He's called the Oracle of Omaha for a reason. Oracle means it's a spiritual term. He has a prophetic gift, whether he knows it or not, and I can assure you he knows it.
He knows it, of course.
He knows it. So Bill Gates falls in this category. People who have invested their money in so many different areas that they can sell off stocks to get cash to buy, to force us to follow other things, to have vaccines and what, to push agendas. Okay? Then there are first-class billionaires. These are the people who own what matters.
Yes, sir.
He'll own the Federal Bank. Okay? He'll own the printing of money. He owns land where oil is. He owns what matters. If I own what matters, guys like that are this non-human guy. What's his name?
Soros.
A man who's not human. Eh? George Soros. Eh? George Soros is worth $8 billion. Huh? But he's more powerful than Bill Gates. You do your research. More powerful than Jeff Bezos. Because he has control where it matters. Okay? Now, us, you guys who want to make money, people who are just thinking about having an influence and driving a nice car and having a nice house just for the sake of having it, please understand that these guys are implementing agendas. And so you must, you see the good thing with Uganda. Remember when I was teaching and I explained that not only do we have identities, they are what we call spiritual identities. Spiritual identities of nations. Nations have spiritual identities. And I explained that, for example, in the Bible, there's the spirit of Jezebel. And I said it's not called the spirit of Jezebel because the spirit the spirit was acting funny and because the spirit's name was Jezebel. It's called the spirit of Jezebel because the human in which its attributes were manifested, it takes on the name of the human in whose attributes were manifested. So there's a spirit of Ahab, there's a spirit of Judas. Okay? The spirit takes on a personality. All right? Now, in the same way nations are like that, there's a spirit of Egypt, there's a spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a spirit of Babylon. The spirit of Egypt has to do with oppression. Yes. And the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah has to do with perversion. Okay? And I was explaining when we were talking that Uganda, the spirit that prevails is not that of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the one of Egypt, the oppression. For example, in the U.S., it doesn't mean that in Uganda there's no perversion, but I'm talking about the spirit that prevails. For example, in the U.S., there's a high sense of the spirit of perversion. And there's a control. Oppression is in a different kind of way. So nations carry spirits. Before you go to Congo to go and do business, learn the spirit that is over that nation. Do your due diligence. The Bible says, find a man who's diligent in all his ways. He shall stand before kings. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm winding up. I promise I'm winding up. Because I didn't touch a lot of things that I thought we would have touched. But I want to encourage you because we're going to go into a question and answer. We're going to talk about some really interesting stuff. But purpose is deep within you. And you need to learn to study yourself. Do you know what it is that you carry? Study yourself. Ask the Lord to reveal to you. First, from the natural plane, what do you carry? Then secondly, from a spiritual perspective, what is it that you carry? There are things you came into this world with, and there are things in this world that you need to be given. And oh, this is very important. When you come on this earth, God puts things in you. He puts things in your environment, and he puts things in other people. And remember, I discussed, he can put a gift that is important for the fulfillment of your purpose in your wife. And this is the importance of God being involved in the unifying of two people to become one. You can marry someone else's wife. And you see, here's the danger. When you marry someone else's wife, there is a certain part or potential within you that you will never fulfill. That's why there are certain men and women I know, okay, especially men, that God puts gifts in these specific deposits in women. When you see Cristiano Ronaldo playing football and there are women shouting, "Oh, we love you, love you," the women who actually watch football and watch these games at football, on TV and so on and so forth, it is very possible that these women, their husbands are either footballers or men who love football?
True. Very true.
Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
If Cristiano Ronaldo plays with such the talent that he has and goes back home and his wife never watched the football match or never paid attention to what he was doing, it's possible he married someone else's. Oh my God. And you see, this is very important because there are people I know, ministers, there's a minister I know who, now this personally, he came to me and said, Rabbi, I'm married now. I love my wife, but it's possible I did not listen to God when I was marrying this person. And he was explaining to me how this person doesn't fan up his flame, doesn't encourage him in his ministry, she's not interested, she's interested in her own other stuff. You understand? And he noticed something, and I brought it out to him. I said, notice, whenever you are away from your wife and you're ministering outside the country, you enter realms that you never thought you could enter. You start prophesying, but when you invite her and you're with her, you feel a limitation because she doesn't have the deposit that you need. You can marry someone else's wife. Or not really another teaching for another day. Eh? But let me tell you, women are very precious vessels that carry ingredients within them. Some of them don't even know. This thing that the world says behind every successful man is a woman, they're just tapping into this principle that I'm talking about. God puts a deposit of your person. And you listen to instruction, you join up and become as one. That purpose ceases to be one. Ceases to be two different things. It becomes one purpose. Okay? She doesn't even have to tell you every day, oh, you've done well, da, 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 da. But just her presence fans up the gift within you. I'm telling you. Eh? She doesn't have to be extraordinary. Huh? There are people on this earth who like to look for spectacular things. Eh? There are people I know who would walk past John the Baptist and run to Elijah and Moses. And yet, Jesus says there is no prophet greater than John the Baptist. He's including Moses and Elijah in that mix. There are people, that's why Paul says, we no longer regard men according to the flesh. You might look at someone, you think, for example, Prophet Elvis. If I asked you, what does he carry? Give me an example. Just feel free. Of what you think, in your opinion, he carries.
He carries a kingly mantle.
Okay, kingly mantle, for example. If you thought Prophet Elvis carries a kingly mantle, and he does, and one day we shall talk about what those mantles are and so on. If you think you can know it because he said it before and you've seen examples of it when he manifests it, knowing is different from understanding it. Understanding it means that if you met someone who carries the same mantle, you will know. Sure. Huh? Huh? Not just in poverty, but if you looked in someone who hasn't yet displayed it, but you looked, you hung around them long enough, you have understood their mantle. That's why it is wisdom, children of God, in the Bible, it is wisdom to learn to get solutions from people you don't like. Because there are people who carry your answers, but if you do not pay close attention, your answer can be in someone else and you disregard them because of how they have appeared. Mm-hmm. All these are very important in the fulfillment of purpose. Are you hearing me, child of God?
Yes.
Very, 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 very important. So God puts bits of things in environment. He puts it in you. He puts it in the person you're going to marry. All those things unlock what is within you. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? All right. We're going to go into a question and answer. I've talked for quite a long time, but let's see what questions these guys can throw. All right, well, we're back and the guys have some questions for me. Shoot, let's go.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. And yeah, as always, it's an honor to be here. So the question that I have is, in this realm of the spirit life, vis-a-vis the physical life that we're living, my question is, there are times when, for example, you dream, okay? And in your dream, you constantly are living a wealthy life. Okay, every time you dream, you're living a wealthy life. But when it comes back to your physical, it's like a totally different story. And for me, I categorize it as the subconscious and the conscious. The subconscious being in the spirit realm, the conscious being in the physical realm. So when this happens, is that spirit prophecy? Is that like your spirit telling you the future? Or is this the reality, but you're only experiencing it in the spirit? And in the physical, you're not, because you are being slow.
Okay. I'm going to answer that. I said that there are higher versions of you. And when I said there are higher versions of you, I explained that Jesus had different versions of himself, though he's the same person. Now, what you need to understand is that it is important for you to grow your spirit man until your spirit man overhauls the soul and the flesh. Okay? Paul says, we no longer regard men according to the flesh. When you have dreams like that, one time I had a friend of mine who had a dream, and this lady was at home at 8 p.m. and she was struggling with feelings of suicide. And this, from her experience, she said, I walked through the wall. I was beaming white. I lay hands on her, and instantly the feeling for the suicidal feelings left. And later when she came to tell me, she said, at 8 p.m. you must have been praying for me, because I saw you walk into my room and, you know, you laid hands on me. And I told her I was busy playing PlayStation 4 at home at 8 p.m. And the fact that I was busy playing PlayStation 4 at home implies that there is a possibility where your spirit, there's a part in you that goes without your consciousness and does things. Now, this can be controversial for some people, but you see, the Bible says of Elijah, he told Gehazi, did my spirit not go with you? The difference with Elisha and myself and yourself and anyone else who has these experiences is that Elisha and men like Prophet Elvis and other men of God around the world who are conscious of the spirit, they've grown the weight and the strength of the spirit man. They know when their spirit has come in contact with someone. Okay? There is a part in you. The Bible says God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Those things are put in your spirit man. And your natural man has to come to that place where he allows the spirit man to take over, so you come to the realization of who you truly are. When people have dreams of you, or you have dreams of yourself holding a lot of money or healing someone or flying, it's showing you the capability in the spirit, in your spirit, the potential that you have. You just haven't yet reached it. And so there are higher versions of you. And I'll say it again, there's a rule in the spirit. There are certain things you cannot have that cannot come to you. They come to another version of you. Okay? Oh, let me tell you this deep secret. Money doesn't come to you. It comes to what you carry. And the more you become aware of what you carry, the more you realize your weight, the more money is drawn. The more people are drawn. At a certain stage, people don't seem to realize how powerful we are as spirits. You know, the environment we're in wasn't created for us. It wasn't just created for us. We were created. We affect the environment as well. In a way. We weren't created for the environment, but we affect the environment. So let me give you an example. Have you ever noticed, if you're in a house and you leave the house for 6 months, you come back, cobwebs, bed bugs, cockroaches, yet the entire time you were in the house, those things were not... Yes, you were cleaning the house, but how did the insects know that you're not around? There is a life you give your environment. And the moment a human, any human being lives, there's a life we give this world. Our presence here. If we left, that's why the Bible says, after those who are the restraining force are removed, then darkness shall flow over. The devil will run rampage. So we give life to certain things. There are capacities you have inside of you that need to be harnessed. That's why listening to men and women of God who use the Bible to make you realize that you are more than what you are is very important for you to achieve not only your natural potential but your spiritual potential. Okay? Yes, Jalom.
Oh, wow. Now, my question is just about the person who you are, basically. But it goes in line with consolidating the power that is within you as a child of God, the spirit you. Now, we find that in most cases, a lot has been released to us spiritually, mantles, prophetic words and directions, and all that kind of stuff, spiritually. And we know of them, the grace of God. We know these things. But how do we consolidate this part of us so that we can move according to the direction that God wants us to move in?
Okay. Listen very carefully. You can have a blessing on your life and just have a blessing, but it's not operating. Blessings don't operate just because you have a blessing on your life. You can have a prophecy over your life and just have the prophecy. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that came upon you by the laying on of hands through prophecy. So he had to ignite it. It was inside. You can just have prophecy. I know many people like that. That means igniting, activating means if they prophesy to you that you're going to have money, one, you take the steps from an informational stage of learning the area in which you're supposed to have money. Money doesn't just come to people who don't do things. Secondly, you do your due diligence. Okay? Faith without actions is dead. All right? Many people who are just in wishful thinking, I can prophesy 1,000 things over your head, and they just lie on your head and stay there. Stir up that gift. You must stir it up. But also, I want to say something. There are inclinations that we have. If you're listening to me, this is extremely important. There are 5 offices: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, not necessarily in that particular order. Now, it's important you understand that not all of us are called to the fivefold, but some of us have inclination. Actually, most of us, everyone on the face of this earth has an inclination to one of those fivefolds in Christ Jesus. Inclination means that if you're called to business, you might have an inclination to the apostolic. Apostolic means, it doesn't mean that you like listening to an apostle. Inclination to the apostolic means that in business, you have an action upon you to start things that have never been there, to set a foundation that others will build on. You have an inclination towards virgin territory in business. You either start something that was never there, or you start something that was there but it doesn't exist in your territory. So it's the same for music. You can have an inclination to worship music. You might have an apostolic inclination to start maybe a style of music that has never been there, or within your country or whatever. Okay, so it cuts across every call. You can have inclination to apostolic. An inclination to the evangelistic, for example, is business, is that you always want to win souls. So the money that you make, whatever it is, you give it towards missions and people. The same is true. Your music can reach out to win people to Christ. Okay? So there's an inclination to that. When it comes to the teaching, you always have a heart to teach. You can teach people music. You can teach people business. You can teach people fashion. When it comes to the pastoral, you're always concerned with those who are failing in particular areas. Okay? So why is your business failing? Everything is going to work out. Let me help you out. Let's give aid to some of these people. It's pastoral in nature. Then the last is prophetic. If your business and you're prophetic, you see ahead. This gentleman, Warren Buffett, has the capacity to see into the future and invest. Okay, I was explaining to these guys a few minutes ago that you can't. In Uganda, people like to get jobs and start building a house, but they never build the house with the perception that in the future their rank might change. And so if your rank changes and your stature changes, what happens is that the house, you must have a prophetic, futuristic view of when building the house. In other words, you must build a house with the mindset that my status might change. It might be bigger than what it is. I have family members who live, they have high places, high positions in government, but the houses they built don't reflect their positions simply because they were not futuristic in nature. Okay? So people have inclinations. You can be prophetic in worship. You can be prophetic in business. You can be prophetic in fashion. You open up your heart and the Lord deposits into your spirit fashion designs and styles that have never been seen. Okay? So the learning of your inclination, the question to you is, where are you inclined? Your ability to know that will help you. But finally, I want to say this. These things don't have physical age. There's a man of God recently who told me, it was actually Pastor Jack Barlow. He told me, Daniel, something shocked me. My 11-year-old child walked up to me one day and said, Dad, you know what? I think I need to get serious with my purpose because the Lord has told me millions will be affected. And he said he turned and looked at his 11-year-old. I said, does this kid understand what they're saying? But then we were talking about it and we came to the agreement that these things don't have physical age.
Yes.
Jesus at 12 knew he must be about his father's business.
Mm-hmm.
A kid can fulfill purpose at that age. That's why many people come to me and say, but you've just prophesied to a 7-year-old and said you're going to become a mechanical engineer. I thought Jesus was coming soon. We have to wait 30 years for this kid to grow up. No. There are kids who have these gifts, like I was saying, indigo children and so on and so forth, who are naturally, their talents are within them. Parents just need to nurture them. Okay? Okay, I would like to say this. We have had some wonderful 6 episodes. Thank you for listening in. This is season 1. Season 2 will come back. Hopefully, we'll have some female voices here as well.
Yes, sir.
To neutralize the effect. But let this audio, let this podcast usher you into desire to understand what you carry, to understand your spiritual age, to know your territory and the place that God has called you. Remember this, child of God, that just like every office in the fivefold has a particular spirit that attacks it. For example, teachers are mainly attacked by spirits of false doctrine. Huh? When a teacher is manipulated, he begins to preach false doctrine. Huh? Or he's attacked by people saying, what you're teaching is false. Prophets, the spirit of Jezebel, or what they call the python spirit. One day we talk about that. Okay? So there are different spirits that attack different offices. In the same way, it's not just for the offices. There are spirits that are for and against specific areas of your calling. You're with me? So, please understand that it is important for you to know that when you're called to a particular place, you could be apostolic in nature and be called to start something that no one knows, no one has ever seen before. And you deal with angelic beings that no one has ever met, simply because your territory is new. To everything, there are spirits, every area, demonic and divine. If you call yourself something you're not, you'll be attacked by something you're never meant to go through. Child of God, my encouragement to you is this. Learn to master how to build. Paul says he was a wise master builder. And lastly, master how to war. Master spiritual warfare in your area so that you don't fight things that are for other things. A person called to the mineral area, they need tools of warfare that are much deeper than a person called to cook, person called to be a chef. The tools are different. Okay? So may the Lord reveal to you your will, his path for you. And know this, that as you begin to walk this path, there are two major paths in life you must walk. Every man, the path of the knowledge of God and the path of self-discovery. There's a point where you reach where those paths coincide and become one path. As you seek God, you know yourself. And as you know yourself, you seek God. Okay? So, those two are extremely important. The Lord bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to the RDM Podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Rabbi Daniel Malinga.